Good evening, everybody, and welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl, Episode 30. Are Dwarves Overpowered? No. So, thank you for coming this evening. Look, obviously, this is a bigger question than just the simple clickbaity question. And we want to talk about all of that, but we do want to start with that basic thesis, are Dwarves Overpowered? It's one I've struggled to want to do. Because I don't like that question. I'm not even sure that is the real question we need to talk about this evening. But it is the most requested sort of title for a One World, One Blood Bowl, the most requested question, and it mostly comes about in that format. Dwarves are overpowered, why aren't you doing something about it? Or are dwarves overpowered? So I thought we would actually set that as the title, because that's what most people ask. But that doesn't mean we don't plan to look within it and behind it and everything else to do with it. I am very, very well known as, obviously, an elf coach and elf aficionado. But secretly, within that, I have actually played occasionally some dwarves. I enjoy playing them. I enjoy the tactical challenge they bring to me. I'll be honest, I'll put my cards flat on the table. I do not consider dwarves to be overpowered. I do think there might be an issue with, are they fun to have in the game of Blood Bowl? Are they good for Blood Bowl? And I think that's a more interesting discussion to have. But I do want to deal with our dwarves overpowered first. I've got three lovely people here with me to discuss this subject. All of them are wrong, I suspect, in different ways, and that should be fun to listen to. Because they all think dwarves are overpowered, or else they wouldn't have accepted my invite. So, we're going to be talking with the lovely Andy Davo, who I'm thrilled to have back on the show. Always a favourite, always a regular. A man, I shouldn't need any introduction. You know, all over the YouTubes, all over the Twitch, all over the NAF scene. Andy Davo is all over Blood Bowl. And Blood Bowl is not all over for Andy Davo. He seems to have made the change to the new rule set and be thriving within it. So that makes him a little bit of a unicorn maybe in the current climate. And we're going to talk to him about his dislike of dwarves. I also have with me Hef, my lovely friend. Ex from the London scene, recently left for the wider world of Great Britain and Blood Bowl. Famously hates dwarves and was made to play an entire year of dwarves. And I'm very pleased to have been joined by MickOyan74, one of the people who said I should do a show on Are Dwarves Overpowered? And I said, fine, I will. Come on to it. The reason he got invited and lots of other people didn't is he also wrote me a three-page thesis on why dwarves are overpowered and exactly what he would do about it. And I thought, that's the kind of commitment we need in someone that thinks so wrongly that dwarves are overpowered. So he's here to defend that view and put those views forward. Let's start really simply. Let's just get Andy dealt with. Andy, it has been put to me that at Euro Bowl in 2018, you drew with a coach ranked 145, I presume, on either the NAF or on Fumble, with you as Dark Elves, one of your favourite races, and them as Dwarves. They ran out of time, and for the whole of the second half, five turns of the second half, all they were allowed to do was stand their players up, and yet you still only managed to draw. Is this the reason you hate Dwarves?
No, it's not the reason I hate dwarves. You linked it to me very kindly a short while ago, so I had a chance to see this one. It turns out that that person's got a far better memory than I, as I didn't even remember the incident. So does that mean that I've blocked it out from my memory, or that the trauma was too great and I was not able to keep going? I don't know. But I, from memory, now I have had a chance to eat a chicken sandwich and think about the problem. I remember. And they only ran out of time with about three or four turns left. So it wasn't that bad.
Okay. A very, very simple question for you. Are dwarves overpowered?
No.
Thank you very much. And we'll come back and discuss a lot of other issues with Andy. But I just want that first question dealt with. Hef, hello, good evening. Welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl.
Hello.
Lovely to have you on. You hate dwarves, don't you?
I detest dwarves. Detest dwarves with a passion.
Okay. You were forced recently to play a year of dwarves, which due to the lockdown and various other issues, which you were doing for charity, I believe, you know, for a good cause.
Yeah. I did a very bad thing for a very good cause. I would never recommend anybody to do a year of anything, particularly not a year of anything they dislike.
Yeah.
Particularly not a year of anything they dislike that turns into 21 months because you agreed to do it in all formats. And there was no tabletop for the first year of it. I managed 21 months, at which point I gave up Blood Bowl for the rest of the year. It was just, I can't do it anymore.
So dwarves drove you to that. Now, I get that. You dislike dwarves.
No.
You talked about it. You felt they straitjacketed your play and your options and your opportunities and your desire for good fun builds.
Have you ever read Ian Banks's book, The Hydrogen Sonata.
Oh, yes.
And there's a spaceship in there called Mistake Not, right? And it's because its full name is Mistake Not My Current State of Joshing Gentle Peevishness for the awesome and terrible majesty of the towering seas of ire that are themselves the mere milquetoast shallows fringing my vast oceans of wrath. That's how I feel about dwarves.
Okay. And yet we are friends.
And yet we are friends.
At the very first tabletop I went to on my own after the UKTC, someone said to me, "What race are you bringing?" And I said, "I'm bringing dwarves." And they went, "Oh, well, let's hope you don't draw Hef. He hates dwarves, and he hates dwarf coaches and thinks they're all..." And used a word I won't use, but it began with a C.
The only remaining central square word.
A T. Then we met in game two, and I turned you round and you fell in love with me because I'm such a lovely, warm human. But you also paid me a huge compliment at the end of that game, and you said, "At least you play dwarves in a way I find less boring."
Yes. That's my problem with dwarves.
Okay.
They're not powered, they are boring.
That's what I want to say. After a year of playing them and having faced people at all spectrums of dwarf play, I get that you hate them. I get you hate dwarf coaches, and we're going to talk about why. Are they overpowered?
No.
Thank you. McKayan 74. Hello, welcome to One World, One Blood Bowl.
Hello.
You have worked harder than any other human to be here. Most of them have just tried valiantly to turn me down until I nagged them into appearing. You actually wanted to come on. You wanted this to be our subject. You have a whole thesis you put to me, which I found very powerful, very compelling. You know the question I'm going to ask, though. I know you hate dwarves. I know you think there are problems with them and that they deter new players and they're a barrier to entry and they do things and skew the meta. Are dwarves overpowered?
I think it's a tricky question because you're putting it in like one thing. And if you do it like that, then I'd say no. There's certain elements that I think are broken about them.
Okay, so we're going to come back to those broken elements because I think that's a much more interesting discussion. Yeah. But every time I see it come up on Facebook, on Reddit, on Fumble, and person to person, that tends to be the question that's asked. And I think it's really important, if we're going to have a serious discussion about that first of all we deal with that question. And all four of us seem to agree they're not overpowered. So we'll talk about all the other concerns. But why does it get asked that way, do we think? Why is it coming out and being expressed in that way?
Because paper, it should be.
Okay.
It's about, I think, splitting this question of overpowered and fun. And I want to talk about fun as its own separate problem. But overpowered, when you frame it as black and white, could you not change that question round? And we could pick any team in Blood Bowl. Are Dark Elves overpowered? Are Necro overpowered? Are Khorne overpowered? And we can list them all out, right? And we could probably go through that and we would probably get to nearly every team being the answer no. But that's because you've got to consider TV 1000. You've got to consider tournament play where everyone gets tiers. You've got to consider 1200, 1300 team value, 1500 team value, and then super high team value. I think we can all agree, maybe, that Chaos at 2.5k team value are ridiculously strong. Overpowered? Maybe. Certainly in Blood Bowl 2 format with Claw Mighty Blow piling on is a thing. Definitely. Are Skaven overpowered with their one turns? Yeah, sure. If you let them get to that point and they have a Claw Palm Storm Vermin and a one turner. So the question of is it overpowered? It's a very nice question, but it's very black and white and almost you can't say they're overpowered everywhere. Are they overpowered?
I've got seven sets of stats, and since I had seven, I think I've added three or four more, so it might be up to nearly 10 now.
Mm. Okay.
The one interesting piece of data I found there in terms of this specific discussion is if you look at the stats that both NAF and Crystron Fumble have in terms of dwarves at TV 1000, dwarves at 1300, and then dwarves at 1600 plus, there's a notable curve that goes up to around the 1300 point, which seems to be where dwarves are massively efficient. Because of their economy, because they start with good skills, they can add most of the skills they really want in their development by about that level. Whereas a lot of teams are maxing out to the point where they're taking less optimal skills at about 1600, 1700. Dwarves are starting to do it much lower. My thesis would be that actually at 1000, I think dwarves really struggle.
I agree.
I think there are some matchups that are good for them and some matchups that are terrible for them, like most teams fresh out of the box. I think they get good very quickly. And then I think they tail off very quickly as well. During that time, I would still say there's a team that is better than them at all TVs and tails off as quickly, which I think is Undead. And so did the stats I've seen, put them a couple of percent in win points ahead of Dwarves, even at their absolute sweet spot of 1,300, where I confess, you know, in a league, for example, once Mikoyan was very powerful about this, once a team gets rolling, I think games one and two in a league are going to be very difficult for Dwarves if they're facing anything with any pace or any agility. But once they get a couple of guard on and perhaps block on one of the runners, I think it turns around and they become very, very difficult for most teams to deal with if they're played reasonably. So I think there might be an issue there if you're looking for where they might be overpowered. There are points within, as you say, the TV curve and the formats where Dwarves are going to be quite oppressive. But I can also pick a point where Dark Elves are, or Wood Elves are, or Underworld are, or, I mean, that's pretty much all over the place at the moment, or Undead. So I'm not sure that in itself is enough for me to accept the label overpowered for Dwarves.
I think you're
there's
right.
Another problem we need to look for.
Mikhail. It's about splitting the question, because, and it's about how different people play Blood Bowl, and whether you're in a league format or you're in a tournament format, or whether if it's a short league or if it's a league that goes on for a long time. And then I think you see the different variations of the Dwarves, and then I think you see where they are, maybe not overpowered, but where they're more powerful in certain elements of that, you know. So for instance, like I've played them recently in a league format, and I purposely, I'm normally a stunty coach, but I purposely took them to prove a point about how much I felt that they were broken.
Which is interesting, because both you and Hef have that experience, and Andy's played Dwarves too, so all of you are talking from Dwarf coaching as well as suffering.
And I won the division, or I came in the first or second of the division. And I'm not a great coach, but the Dwarves definitely helped me do that quite easily. And then as I progress, then you go into the next division, the higher division for the next season. And obviously then I didn't constrain my TV, so my TV started to get quite high, and then you're playing higher TV teams as well. So then it starts to kind of even out a little bit. But definitely at the like you say, the sub 1,300, 1,400, then they're just running away with it. They're absolutely just killing everyone. Well, that's how I felt that they were in my leagues.
Does that not link in with the, if you take Blood Bowl core at the very beginning, it's about a positioning game, and it's about trying to solve the position, the problem that's in front of you. As you add team value, you actually diverge to one of two end states. You diverge to end state one, which is natural one turning and scoring at will. So Skaven, Wood Elves in the old rule set were very, very strong at that. And that's one of the reasons why Skaven at tabletop now are probably the most strong team. And then the other game state that you diverge out to is, can you murder everything? If there isn't anything left for me to play, because it's all dead. And that's where Clawpom came in. So why do Dwarves suddenly fall off? It's because of two things. One, they don't have access to Claw. And then two, they can't diverge out to the other game state, which is they can't score one natural one turners really easily. However,
I'm just pull up something that's quite interesting in terms of this specific discussion, Andy. Let me just find the specific thing we want. So we're going to go off for a second. Yeah, now this is a... it's not... Why is it not showing?
Because it hates you.
Very obnoxious.
That is a beautiful set of grey squares.
It is lovely.
It is, isn't it?
It's like watching Dwarves play.
That seems to now be showing. So hopefully that should now be on the stream. It's a very hard graph to read. But on this line here... and my pointer doesn't show on it. Fine. Well, if you look... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... About 9 down, there's an obvious Dwarf symbol. And it starts with the green numbers 58 and 60. Mm. And then there's some orange numbers, then some more green, then some yellow, orange, and eventually more green. This is a graphical representation of the win rates of races against each other. And what I think is really interesting about it is that Dwarves don't have the highest win rates. They come in as they normally do. When you look at most win stats, not all of them, but most of them, they tend to come in about 7th or 8th, perhaps as high as 6th, maybe as low as 10th.
There is a reason for that, and that's because there are only really sort of, in my experience of playing against Dwarves for 13 years, you come across two sorts of people that play them. People who've just started and people who are very, very good.
I feel that's anecdotal, Hef. What I think this shows...
It's anecdotal because, you know, I don't do this stats shit. But, at the end of the day, my lived experience, and there is a thing about, you know, when I did my social work, you know, you talked about sort of stats based things and anecdotal things, and there was anecdotal research. And my anecdotal one person research is that people start and they are attracted to dwarves because they have it all. They're armor 9 or 10 plus now. They are they have block and tackle. They're thick skull. You can't kill them. You can't kill them. You can't move them. And they've got all the skills you need. And people play them for a while, and it's like playing Blood Bowl with the training wheels on. And I come across those people, and I beat them because, frankly, all you have to do is wait for that turn where something doesn't work, and then they don't know what to do.
Okay, well, if I'm going to engage with that, Hef, I would say what a wonderful opportunity then for new players to take a team that will live and which will gain levels for them so they get the excitement of running up their skills, and who won't be that challenging to other people. If they had pro elves at the end of game one, they might have five people left, and then are they coming back to play the next game of Blood Bowl?
But there are other teams which will help you to learn Blood Bowl.
And if we get rid of dwarves, people will be complaining about how dull orcs and Khemri are when they face them.
Absolutely.
I do hear your concerns, but I want to just finish off on the lovely image I had up. So yes, dwarves are the ninth one in this, and what we're trying to show there is those two little interesting green blotches, because if you look up and above them, everything else around there is orange or is red. That is their win rates against Underworld and Amazon, which are the two teams that are dominating that graph in terms of beating most other races handily. Dwarves also have reasonable rates against Skaven and Snotlings, which are also up above them in who they are beating. Where they fall down there is against Undead and Orcs, who are above them. And then they're very, very even against humans, against Chaos Dwarves, and obviously 50% against other humans. And then they start to lose against Khemri, and that's the only one at that low TV that they're having a really tough time with. And then they're fairly average across most other things. So what's happening with Dwarves, I find a lot of the time, is even as they start out of the box, they're really struggling against teams that are stronger than them, particularly in the 2020 rules, where getting strength up is really hard for them to do. So facing four biggins, for example, that can now move more than their beards can move, they move five, are stronger than them, and get two dice against them all the time. Yes, dwarves can try throwing red dice, because they've got block. They can even try a one die if they get enough assists in. But they're struggling against those bashier teams. What they're very good at is limiting, and maybe over-limiting, but limiting some of the dodgier, the quicker, the more agile teams, which everyone else is struggling with. So I think some of the complaints we get is because if you take an elf team, you're going to win most games, and then you might come up against dwarves and struggle a bit. And I kind of, this is a horrible thing to say, and it's going to lean into the whole PC is toxic elite. I think really the first thing that needs to be answered to most people saying that dwarves are overpowered is play against them better. And they're not.
But the problem you've got in the three people you've got who are supposedly against you is that we've all already agreed that they're not overpowered.
Right.
So you're arguing against something that doesn't exist.
Okay.
It's not that they're overpowered, it's that they are boring.
Right. So why are they boring? What's boring about them?
Hef, before we go into that, could we just cover off the overpowered question or not? Because PC was very cute in the way he framed our question to all three of us. Are they overpowered? And we were like, no, we shall not fall into that big man trap. However, they are overpowered, as we have discovered, at about 1,300 team value. And moreover, are they overpowered at that team value? Yes. If you go and look at the Blood Bowl 2 stats and go and do the top 100 race statistics, you will find that all the really strong coaches, Dwarves, Amazons in particular, which are incredibly obnoxious at that team value point, are their strongest races. Artemis is rocking well over 80% with both of those two races. So are they overpowered? Yes, in a vacuum, in a certain set of criterion, they are broken as fuck. At 1,000 TV, no. And at super high TV, no.
And so I know when somewhere you go and look in at the a statistics, corner, Jimmy Fantastic is going to be rocking backwards and forwards saying, and when redraft comes in, it'll just be dwarf, 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 dwarf. And I'm not sure he's wrong there.
We haven't got to that.
But I do think redraft is going to be a good thing for dwarves. They're a very efficient treasury wise.
And doesn't that then cover into the points about their economy, which we've talked about a little bit, that they are, for 1,000 team value, you can go and buy a complete full dwarf team with 3 rerolls, 11 players, everything you need on a dwarf team. Go and do that for a dark elf team, and you have 2 rerolls and some of the positionals. Go and do it on a corn team, you get a bunch of linemen. And go and do it on a lizard team. Necro. So when we talk about Blood Bowl, surely we need to go and look fundamentally at the starting team values of all the different teams and say we should all be in lockstep that if some teams can have everything, shouldn't everyone get everything?
Well, I mean, no, because one of the joys of Blood Bowl is its asymmetrical design. And some teams will start stronger, and some teams will then get stronger, and some teams will finish stronger. I'm not sure we want to lose that. I mean, do we want to aim towards everyone has 6-3-3-8 under the old rules, or 6-3-3-5+, 8+ now? But there has to be some differences, and I get that some of them are obnoxious. Sure. I mean, I gutter runners moving 9 for £3, you know, when everything else is, every other good player is 140k, gutter runners have gone up to 85. Ooh. So there are other players that are just deeply obnoxious. And dwarves, dwarves are obnoxious to a lot of builds, but they're also just not a problem. There's many races that love the idea of spinning into some dwarves. Now, the counter to their TV efficient is, of course, how many times have you won a game with 3 elves, Andy?
Certainly more than I've played it and won with 3 dwarves, that's for sure.
Right. So for dwarves to work, they need a full set on the pitch. That's what dwarves are built to do.
How many games have you had 3 dwarves on the pitch?
Many more than I would have liked to have had. Many more. Yeah, it's less common, but you see, I don't need 3 dwarves on the pitch. By the time I'm down to 9, I can't cover the pitch. I can't defend. And people can just run around me. So I've lost. If I'm against anything with speed, once I'm down to 9 dwarves, I've almost certainly lost.
I mean, of course, the cynical...
But once I've lost a couple of elves, I'm not even that bothered as long as it's the right elves I've lost. If I've still got my good elves, the ones that can take the ball, the ones that can move it quickly, I've still got a good shot, haven't I? So, I mean, it is asymmetric design. And dwarves, if they're not going to have a decent team at TV 1000, they're just not going to function. Surely.
You know, you will have a shot. Whether it's a good shot, I don't know. But you will certainly have a shot.
Well, there is a place for a Black Orcs. And I worry that if Armbar and Brawler comes in for the beards, that's where dwarves head. They're in the Black Orcs shop. McEwen, that is your plan, isn't it? Armbar and Brawler. Let's nerf those long beards. There's too many good skills on dwarves when they start.
Well, that's the problem. Dwarves, I struggle to find an alternative that doesn't.
We have seen some of them on Old World Alliance. Alternative plans do exist. I think most of them would just kill dwarves as an option. So let's throw a couple around. Let's bring those onto the table. Okay, plan for dwarves.
I just think it was strange when they brought in Old World Alliance that they did that to the dwarves in Old World Alliance, and then they didn't do that to the dwarves in dwarves, and I think that was really weird. And then, in a way, they kind of made the dwarves even worse by giving them the loner plus in 4+ in Old World Alliance. So I think we've made it even worse, but for lore reasons or whatever. But yeah, I think Armbar and Brawler is probably how most people would look at it and go, maybe that's how you fix them.
Do you think they would then be viable?
I think they'd be less obnoxious. I think that would be the biggest thing for it.
Okay.
I'd feel they'd be more fun to play against if they had that.
And what about Chaos Dwarves? Because someone pointed out, I do think they're wrong. And I meant to do this at the start, so let me just take a moment to say this now. I'm really sorry, everyone, for saying yes to this. Because One World, One Blood Bowl is supposed to be about trying to bring people together from all over Blood Bowl just to talk about things. And never has there been so much angry content generated by me just announcing the title of a One World, One Blood Bowl as seems to have happened over this. I mean, that mum's net of the Blood Bowl world, Reddit, has even uncharacteristically had some people get cross with each other. Facebook has had more responses than ever before. And my Discord has had pages and pages of people endlessly debating who's right and who's wrong. And there do seem to be some really entrenched positions here, which I think is a real shame. I think we all acknowledge there is a fun problem, a user problem with dwarves within Blood Bowl. Even I accept that and I love them. So I'm interested in discussing that, and I don't want it to divide us or separate us. I actually want to find ways forwards, but I'm not just going to roll over and go, yeah, let's kill dwarves, because then one team I love disappears. I also think it might be bad for the meta to not have a mass tackle team around. So let's say we take Armbar and Brawler, and we do it to Chaos Dwarves as well, presumably, because they have six.
Yeah, for sure.
They have six dwarf beards on the field.
Yeah.
Someone, I think, I forget where it was, it may have been in my Discord, put that's more than dwarves have. But I'm certainly not running two runners, two slayers, two blitzers, and five beards as standard. I never would. I might have a second runner, but it's likely on the bench unless I really feel I need the pace on the pitch. And I've almost certainly only got one slayer on the pitch. I know some people like two. I usually have a max of one. If I have a second, it's probably, again, in reserves. So I tend to roll with six to seven tackle on the pitch, and I may even have put tackle on a slayer or on a blitzer.
When I was doing my year of penance, I basically ran your dwarf team because it was the best dwarf team out there. And then when they decided that, when Games Workshop decided that no dwarves aren't broken, they actually need a boost. Then I played the
Death Roller.
Death Roller. And it really broke one of my main points, which was that when I used to play up to 2016 rules, if I was playing against a guy who was playing dwarves and he said, here are my dwarves, and I went, okay, well, I'm going to be bored for the next hour, but let's just roll with this. And he went, here's my death roller. I went, as long as the dice are even, I'm going to win this. Because it just seemed the way.
Some of the stats we're looking at on the lovely Sans Tableau site, I think we're pointing out a real spike in dwarves winning tournaments right as the 2020 rules got released for about a year, suddenly death rollers with sneaky git and a bribe were around a lot on dwarves and absolutely wrecking teams. That's also created a real sort of psychic imprint in the newer coaches that came in with that rule set as to dwarves being this massively toxic, overpowered race.
But I'm not sure
they are. I think that was a surge that we saw.
If you're looking at which is the most overpowered team according to Games Workshop, it is clearly Necros. Necros or Nurgle. They're the overpowered team. So you have to base your dwarves against Necro and Nurgle. And are dwarves better than Necro and Nurgle? Because Necro and Nurgle are clearly massively overpowered.
Well, Necro do have a weird hatred by Games Workshop, it seems. They've made a lovely team design that no one could afford to run.
Because they're just so
expensive to put together. And if any one dies, they're incredibly expensive to replace.
And frankly, they needed to reduce the number of ball carriers you had from six down to four.
But actually, in terms of all the stats, there is a team that is coming out time and again 5% above every other in NAF formats, in Fumble, in the Black Box Trophy, not yet in Blood Bowl 2, obviously, because it wasn't even there. And in Blood Bowl 3, we haven't seen it yet, which is Underworld. And I think if there's a real problem in the rule set right now, it's Underworld. And
Underworld are clearly overpowered, but they're also immense fun, which you can't say about dwarves. I
love playing dwarves.
I will sit in a tournament, and the guy in front of me will put Underworld down, and I'll know that I'm going to have a good time. I'm probably going to get killed by those millions of snotlings, but I'm going to have a good time. Whereas if somebody put dwarves down in front of me, it was like, I'm 60 years old, almost. I haven't got a lot of time left, and you're going to burn 2 hours that I'm never going to get back playing against this.
Playing a wonderful tactical game of the moment.
They are when you play them, and on a good day, they are when I play them. But most of the people that I play dwarves against don't know what the hell they're doing. And it's just, you just wait for that moment where they overextend. I've just got to hold you here until you overextend, and then I'll go in. And that's all I have to do. And if they kill six of my guys, or if they kill three of my guys on the line of scrimmage, I've lost. But then that's pretty much any team anyway. I did promise someone that
I would tell them how to beat dwarves. Knock down the ones on one side, hold the ones in the middle, run away from the ones on the other side, and then go past them. It's so difficult.
You only need to get within six of the end zone with your ball carrier.
Yeah.
And then you just make a line and out you go.
But if we just give them all brawler and armbar, which I understand that the idea of doing that, they'll still have AV9 and thick skull. And I would tell you that actually as a dwarf coach, what I consider to be the essence of dwarves is the ability to get knocked down and get back up again.
Oh,
that as a dwarf coach is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to control positions by the fact that I can take a hit and I can ride it. And either if it doesn't pow me, I've then got a piece that's in a place you don't want it. And if it does pow me, I should be able to get back up and either mark the piece that hit me or at least have control of that space. So as long as I've still got the AV9 and thick skull, I can still see where there may still be a way for dwarves to work. But if I have no block or tackle, I can't move anywhere. I can't do anything offensive. I'm not sure armbar is a deterrent to anyone dodging off me. Brawler when it was first released. It makes a 1 in 9, a 1 in 18. It's that simple. It halves the risk of a both down being a problem for you, assuming you use it in all situations where it could help. So I don't see how dwarves are going to be able to get anything done. And I'm going to fear the tyranny, the rise of Blodge. Because Blodge is already, to me, the most powerful combo in the game. Screw Mighty Blow and Guard. It's Blodge. Blodge wins games. And I think without something to limit that, and the proof in the stats is that dwarves are reasonable at doing that, then aren't we just going to see a whole new level of tyranny from the Blodge teams?
I think the thing is why do dwarves, and Norse even, why does everyone in the team get Block? The most powerful skill in the game, why does every dwarf be able to Block? And I think that's the crux of it, and it probably moves away from the topic slightly, because like I say, then you're moving on to Norse as well, or why Zons all have Dodge, etc. But
well, I mean, recently Block was taken off a couple of Norse pieces, wasn't it, in the latest rebuild?
Yeah.
The Valkyries start without Block. Now, obviously, Block is going to be almost certainly what they seek first, but it does slow that development, and it does mean there's a couple of vulnerable pieces right at the start. There are pieces without Block on a Dwarf team. Runners start without Block.
Yeah. Well, if you move Block off of the lineman, you'd do two things. One, you'd actually have to make a decision. Because at the moment, the development of dwarves is very linear. This is what you do. You go, does your dwarf have guard? No, give him guard. Has your dwarf got guard? Yes, give him Mighty Blow. Has your dwarf got guard and Mighty Blow? Do what you like. Your dwarf is finished. Everything is, all the thinking in terms of the development of the dwarves was done by the initial designer. If you think about what they are.
I've still got the original set of Blood Bowl. And in the original rules, it talks about dwarves being slow, huddling as a mass, and rolling down the field, and that being very hard to stop. That was the original concept behind dwarves in Blood Bowl the entire time.
That's fine, but it doesn't make them interesting to play against.
But how do we do that and leave them viable? Because if you're telling me you're taking Block off all of my line beers, even if you're leaving it on my other positionals,
I can't
face orcs because they dominate my line now. There's nothing I can do against orcs.
This is my problem. This is my problem with dwarves. My answer to the fact that dwarves are over-designed is don't waste your life playing dwarves. Play dark elves. Because I don't actually think, that people say, oh, they're necessary for the meta. And part of me goes, yes, they're necessary for the meta. I can see why you need a tackle team. But does it need to be a tackle team that are armor 9 and have thick skull? But all of the decisions that makes that there's a, well, playing them when I was bored, it was all of the decisions were made for me. You had they've got no big guys. Dwarves have got no big guys. Well, other than the Death Roller, which of course is also hugely over-designed. Because how do you
Death Roller, I do think is overpowered and needs a nerf back to something amusing and not very useful.
How do you make a big guy on any team? How do you take him out of the game? You give him a meat puppet to deal with. Go and play with this lineman. But you can't do that to a dwarf death roller because he has break tackle.
Well, I don't know if you heard, Hef. It's still only a 3+ for him to dodge off now with break tackle.
Oh, my heart bleeds.
And he can't dodge into cages anymore. He can escape, but it's...
My heart bleeds. Tell that to a Minotaur.
If a Minotaur gets break tackle, it has exactly the same dodge options.
Yes. That, what's the important line there? If a Minotaur gets break tackle. And who's
they're
going
also
to give a
cheaper than Death Rollers and don't get sent off just for existing.
Yeah.
They are different pieces.
Yeah, and one of them is over-designed and it goes, oh, well, but we don't want to
I
get
do
stuck.
I do think the Death Roller didn't need a DP line. Plus two. I don't think anything needs to be plus two on a 2d6. I think plus two is too much.
No. Let's make it strength seven, so on its own it gets three dice.
Andy, save me from the madness.
You know, it's like, what? You know, everybody else's big guy is strength five, but the dwarves get one that's strength seven because
is this the world you want, Andy? All dwarves with armbar and brawler,
dominated by
chaos and Nurgle at NAF events.
Okay, so no, I wouldn't take block off them, and no, I wouldn't give them brawler and armbar. In fact, I would go in a completely different direction. What we have all agreed so far is that dwarves are both two things we've agreed. One. And you've agreed it as well. They are not fun to play against. We
I
have differing opinions on whether.
That.
Yes, we can agree that they are not all fun to play with, right? You enjoy playing them, me less so. Hef would rather jump out of his own nearest window. And Mickey certainly doesn't look likely he enjoys them. So they're not fun to play with, and they're certainly not fun to play against. Why? Because they play in a very one-dimensional manner. What we've also identified so far is that at 1300 team value, they are broken. Really, really, really strong. Why? Because, as Hef's alluded to, they have very linear progression.
It's their peak.
So what
every
do we
team has a peak. Yeah. That is where dwarves peak.
So what do we need to do about it? Well, looking at Blood Bowl 3 already, have we not already seen the rise of the movement 8 runner hidden behind 10 guard players, which is obnoxious and you just can't do anything to it? Why? That's because it's a function of how the game is. You level up. You deliberately now save for a stat on a runner. You save for another stat on a runner. Once you've got your plus two move, get block, then go fishing for an agility increase. If you didn't get that, you get a double, so you've now got a blodge movement eight player. Good luck dealing with that then. So what we need to do is we need to go and look at the way that they are built initially, both with their skills and their starting team, starting roster. And we also need to go and look at the skill tree that they reside in, which is the strength skill tree. That is by far the strongest skill tree.
It is, but there's no joy in randoming it. There's so many poor ones in there.
Oh.
There are three skills dwarves really want, but there are so many skills that they just are terrible and are a complete waste of TV on them. So dwarves don't have the randoming option that other cheap teams have. They don't have cheap players. They can't afford to rinse and repeat them. And they're not going to get good skills if they random. But they do have access to good skills. We'll give you that.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I'm going to flat disagree with you because that they can afford to random because once you've got two or three longbeards with guard, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth skills, you do rinse and repeat. If you hit one of the Holy Trinity, guard, mighty blow, stand firm, you've got a 10K skill. Brilliant. If you didn't hit it, then there's another three or four that are useful. They're not great, but they are finishing skills. And then you just go and get guard as your next skill. And then if you hit something stupid like Pile Driver, throw it in the bin, rebuy it. Why? Because nothing died in the last five games.
Pile Driver,
so you're going to have...
Or Brawler, or Mighty Multiple Block, or Grab. I mean, there are a lot of terrible skills within guard.
Grab you've got to keep, right? Grab's situational, but you keep it because it's about controlling the pitch, I think. And having my limited experience with Blood Bowl 3 in terms of playing and playing against it, when you can see the teams that have min-maxed and you can see the ones that have managed to random a bunch of strength skills and hit lucky, and dwarves are already cheap. They're already too cheap. And then you give them even more cheap stuff. And when redraft comes in and they've only paid 10K for their mighty blowers and guards, they're going to be even more obnoxious.
Well, I mean, I do worry about redraft. I think it's in one way of solving the fact that dwarves will then definitely not have the time to just get a random skill and rinse and repeat. They're going to have to aim for the skills that they know help them because they just can't afford terrible skills within a limited window of number of games before they're redrafting. I do think the cost of dwarves means there will be ways of redrafting and keeping a fairly efficient starting team. But I wonder if that's not going to be true for a lot of other teams. I mean, for example, look at Undead. Undead can get rid of every zombie, every skeleton, probably all the ghouls as well, and just start with fresh rookies and just keep developed mummies and developed whites. And I think that's going to be terrible. An undead with four really good mummies and whites and then a wall of filth, that's going to be a nightmare for anyone to run into, whatever they've got.
It will last two or three seasons, and then the mummy is costing you an extra 60,000 plus all of his skills, and then suddenly you get rid of him, and in your season four, you've got a shit team.
But that's the same with your dwarf runner.
I've just seen that the guy there said that I look like a dwarf, and that's because I got paid real money to grow this beard. So that's why I look like a dwarf. And when it grew, I discovered that actually it made me look less like my dad, which at 60 is a problem.
I don't think you have to defend your views, your looks, Hef. I think you're beautiful. So we can carry on.
I'm certainly more beautiful on the outside than the inside. But where was I?
We're taking block and tackle off the dwarves, or we're swapping around what starting skills they have and trying to make something fun to play, but still viable for the dwarf coach. I don't see how we do it.
I mean, this is my problem. I don't see how they're fixable, because if you fix them, then they're no longer dwarves. And that's a problem. You know, I think you either need to burn them down completely and rebuild them from stock, at which point people like you will go, what have you done to my dwarves? In the same way that people go, what have you done to my Amazons?
Yeah, I'll move to another race. I think they're weak enough as it is.
And the stats don't support the fact that, I mean, they are good at certain values. And my experience of playing them was this. I normally have two emotions of Blood Bowl, which is, well, maybe three when a good day, which is fear before I roll the dice and then relief when they work. But with dwarves, I had two emotions. I had boredom when they were doing what they were supposed to do, because, yeah, you're supposed to knock these people over. You're supposed to be able to move one or two squares a turn forward to get it. You're supposed to have your guy in a cage. And that was boring. Or absolute rage when something went wrong. When he made that 6-up dodge into my cage and took my ball carrier down and I couldn't do anything about it, or when one of my guys double won something and fell over, or whatever it was, and then I would just be enraged because I knew that my drive was done if this guy was minimally competent, and there was no recovering from it. At best, I would stop him scoring, but my plan, such as I ever have, because I think, you know, I don't think I have the temperament for dwarves, to be honest, because I think people who play dwarves are the kind of people that are playing two or three turns ahead, and I can barely play the turn I'm in.
I mean, I've always said I think dwarves are more like a sort of long-form logic problem, when, say, elves are more like solving an anagram. You know, with elves, there's that instant hit of, I can see this, I can do it, I get it done. With dwarves, you've got to think, okay, first we do this, and then that, and then that, and then 8 stages later, we might be there. Yeah. So I think it's a different mental challenge. Some people find appealing, some don't. Some people love a much longer, more intricate thinking exercise where one mistake screws you, and some people love, I can do things every turn, which is the turn that I'm going to do them, and you know, that challenge. And it's a very different challenge, but it's a different mindset.
I suppose what caused me to hate them so much is that when I first started playing Blood Bowl, in 2009 or 2008, and I went to tournaments, it was when you got a skill after every game. And so 30% of people were taking Norse and 20% of people were taking dwarves, unless it was 30% of people taking dwarves and 20% of people taking Norse. And it was just, you know, I've traveled 150 miles to a scout hut with this team that isn't dwarves or Norse, because A, I don't have any Norse, and B, I respect myself too much to play dwarves. I turn up with, I don't know, Skaven or ogres, because I liked playing ogres back then, and just watch these people who didn't know what the feck they were doing cream my team.
You see, ogres have got a reasonable chance against dwarves. If you base the ones that can't dodge away, you can remove dwarves. Ogres can do that fairly reliably. Yeah. And then dwarves are really stuffed.
Huh. And, you know, last tournament I went to, the skill pack allowed me to have 5 dwarves with block. Not dwarves, 5 ogres with block. That was fun. You know, but that's fun. You know.
But that was fun facing dwarves with something that does well against them. I would also counter, I think the situation is easing. There is a couple of teams in the 2020 rule set that I think are fantastic counter dwarves. I think Imperial Nobility are a terrible, terrible team. But they're a dwarf's worst nightmare, because when you hit them, you don't move forwards. You gain nothing. They stand straight back up again. They've either got fend, or they've got stand firm, and they've got wrestle. So you're not making the progress dwarves need to make. And playing them is absolutely miserable as a dwarf coach to try and get anywhere. I think Nurgle, if they have any hope, and I'm not sure they do in the modern rule set, need to lead into the foul appearance and the tentacles and the stymie build of Nurgle. I also think Old World Alliance, with their mix of a couple of pieces that can bog them down and speed that can get past them, are doing really, really well against dwarves. And I think orcs are just owning them now, with the big ones are much quicker than the dwarves. And they've still got, you know, they start with four block, which, as Mikael is saying, is enough to be dangerous to any team. It gives you the three hits on the line of scrimmage, and it gives you your blitz. So quite why teams are starting with 12 block when four is still enough to be overpowering a lot of other teams is a really good question.
Yeah,
well, I mean, if you go back to the main thing is, like, why does every dwarf start with block? When you look at any other team, it's only the blitzers with block. So if you were to make it that only the blitzers had block, why is it, you know, that is the point, why is it that just
it also dwarves, which is guard, yeah,
but they're also 70k each, and they're only move four.
Andy Davo pushing guard.
But if you're knocking somebody, if you're knocking somebody down every turn, move four is irrelevant, because when you stand back, if you're move six and you're spending three to stand up again, you're no faster than a dwarf. So I think the movement thing is played as an argument, but I don't think it stands up when dwarves are consistently knocking people over. Then the speed is irrelevant. And I played dwarves recently in two games. I'm a 30-35% coach. I'm not great, you know. And I was playing against 60-70% coaches, and I held them both to draws. I think one was Skaven, and I can't remember what the other one was now. But either way, like, it was the fact that they were faster teams, but you were just putting their guys on the floor, you were removing them from the pitch, and then it doesn't matter how fast they are.
Is it true, I know I've heard you say this before, Andy, is it true that there's a higher floor for dwarf play? That as long as you know what you're doing with dwarves, you should be able to get 30-40%, and then getting above that might be harder, but that's what appeals to some newer coaches, is they can get in there and get that 40% no matter what they know how to do in Blood Bowl. Isn't it nice absolutely. When you've got a team like that, or is it terrible?
Well, I think we've agreed that they're a fun vacuum, right? We have all agreed this. So the what would you do about it? Hef made a really interesting point about, my drive fell over because I've rolled a snake, or it's all gone wrong. And we've all been in that situation on turn five, something minor, trivial has gone wrong, and you know the drive's completely fecked. There's nothing you can do to fix it. So we need to go away and look at that as the problem. Why is that the case, and how would we change it? Well, I would start with a raft of sweeping changes. So are you ready for the sweeping changes?
Well, I mean, look, if you're taking block or tackle away from the dwarves, they're going to have something to give them some more agency, because they're just screwed.
Well, yeah, right, yes. So what would I do? The Longbeards, they fundamentally need a complete redesign. They need to be pushing guard back so you don't universally take guard as your 6-star player point skill, and that's what you do. And you can't have them take guard and mighty blow, so you've got a block, tackle, mighty blow player at 6-star player points if that's what you want to do as well. Tournament play, that's what people do. They skill the Longbeards, and you smatter guard and mighty blow across the pair of them. That's a terrible design. So what do we need to do? Well, I would take tackle away from all of the Longbeards. I'd leave them with block for now. I'd also uplift them to movement 5, because if the biggins can move 5, then why can't they? An interesting problem against the stronger teams is why the little dwarf hats have all got horns on them. Why can't some of the players have horns? Maybe the blitzers. So give them the horn skill. It sounds like a weird mutation, but they wear these weird hats. Why not? And that helps them against the stronger teams. And I would then move the tackle across to the blitzers. And then you've got two players with tackle. And then you've also got something where you can actually deal with the strength 4 teams.
I mean, as a dwarf coach, it doesn't terrify me. I'm giving them a buff. Losing tackle on all the beards, because as I said, what I'm really looking for in them is that solidity, is the ability to get knocked over and stand up again. Even the block, it's great to have offensively, but really it's fabulous defensively, because it stops me getting knocked over quite so much.
And the thing that for me, the unique thing about dwarves, and the thing that we should be talking about that is good, is the fact they have thick skull.
Yeah.
I like thick skull. It's like, let's give this, let's. So, but why do you have to be armor 9 and thick skull? Why can't you be armor 8 and thick skull?
Well, because we have a couple of armor 8 pieces with thick skull on dwarf teams. They're targets of everyone, and they get removed all the time.
But they wouldn't be targets if everybody was armor eight.
But if you look at the number of hits that a dwarf team takes in the average game, it's much higher than most other teams because they are known to get knocked over and get back up, and that's how they have to play. They can't catch people, they have to mark them. They're not going to be able to catch a ball down, so they have to stop it moving, and that means getting in people's faces. And they have to be able to survive that, or they're not viable.
Yeah, and which is probably, which again, we get back to, are they fixable? So maybe armor nine needs to stay, but I'm a big fan of moving the tackle onto the blitzers.
Because it frightens me the least as a dwarf coach to move it onto the blitzers. Because it's not a core part of how I'm trying to win games, is having tackle and everything. It's useful against stunties, obviously, but really it's perhaps over-useful against stunties who don't need that jab up in their face.
That's an alteration to the rules that says that tackle doesn't work if you're stunty because you're so little you can't be caught.
I'd be fine with that. I don't...
It's actually it's a little boost to all the stunty players. Yeah. And Andy David hates it, which is fine.
No.
Andy David hates
it. Andy David's not a lover of the goblins as it is, so he needs something to...
But my problem with it goes back to my idea that actually they're over-designed and poorly designed, although I've not said poorly designed before, but over-designed certainly, is that the stars of a team, we're told, are the blitzers, and yet the blitzers are worse than the longbeards when it comes to skills. They remove better and they're an agility better, but as the chassis is better, but the superstructure is worse, and that to me
that's why I give them horns.
I don't understand how it's done. And I've been on streams trying to watch how it's done. There's a fabulous Russian coach called Singolo, and he's not the only one. He's just the one I'm going to talk about. But him and I call it the Russian build because I first saw him do it, and most of the people I've seen do it are Russian. And on Blood Bowl 2. They build dwarf teams with 10 longbeards and a runner.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that, and I have tried and can't get it to work for me. But it seems to work very well. He gets really, really good win rates with them.
That's funny, because I was just about to ask if you'd ever done that, because I was thinking today, like, if you're going to... Do you even need a runner? Can you just run pure longbeards and then have all the best skills?
Wow.
Maybe. You need...
I played as dwarves the other day, and I picked up the ball turn one, and I basically hung back for three turns, and the other guy was like thinking, you know, what am I doing? But I didn't need to move forward. I've got enough movement. So if you've just got long beards and you're moving forward four squares is enough, you can go. Do you need anyone else? Can you just have a team of long beards?
I mean, you can. I wouldn't want to coach it. I think it's not. I think it's so easy to get in front of dwarves and arrest them so they can't move four every turn. To limit them say one to two a turn, in which case they should theoretically never score.
Well, is that not when you're...
Bloodbodjock here is saying that he wants to know what Miko's solution is to dwarves, because we've all spouted long enough.
Well, he's written me a lovely thesis. Let's hear a little more. So first of all, We're giving them armbar and brawler, and we're taking off block and tackle on the beards. Do we think that does the job, Mickey?
I that's the way I would go with the long beards. And then, like I said, I think if you want to put tackle on somebody, you give it to the blitzers. I just don't understand this whole concept of giving dwarfs, or all the dwarfs, everything. I think you've just given them too many skills. They're just too good.
And when I say that, you know, if I'm looking at that design, I'm thinking I now have no answer to chaos. I have no answer to orcs, even at 1,000 TV. I'm going to get utterly dominated. Does that worry you?
No, because I don't like dwarfs. So.
But then I've also got no answer to elves because I can't catch them and I can't base them. I've got no answer to stunty because I can't deal with their dodge and they're just going to dodge through me. So I now have an advantage against them.
As a stunty player, I absolutely hate being a fling or a goblin team and running into dwarfs. I think it's just the worst.
Yeah.
Because it just kills your team, and then you're just sitting there going like, why am I even bothering, you know? Because you run into dwarfs as goblins or flings, and you're just like, oh, that's it.
I mean, I have to tell you, as goblins, I love beating dwarves. It's not easy, but I have done it.
Yeah, I mean, I watch you play goblins, so I know, yeah.
But it's tricky, and it's beautiful when it happens, and it is a very tricky matchup, and I do think they're, you know, Hef's idea of perhaps tackle doesn't work on stunties, mainly because it made Andy so unhappy. Might
definitely
be something I could live with.
Not my idea. I saw it. I think Plasmoid came up with it So it's not my.
It was bouncing around for a while, and certainly in his "Let's make everything equal," he has tacklers not affecting stunties. So I think it's fair to say Plasmoid might be the owner of that as an idea.
I mean, it does make things like goblins fairly mean.
So basically, Mickey, and what you're doing there is killing dwarves, because I don't see how anyone's going to want to then coach them.
Kill them.
Are we going to kill Chaos Dwarves as well? Do they need to
go? And this is a good thing.
Yeah, and Chaos, yeah.
And Chaos, okay. So when we're talking about, you know, it's both of them.
But then I don't have a problem with Chaos. In fact, I've loved playing Chaos.
But they've got, as I said, just as much tackle AV9 thick skull on the pitch, almost certainly.
All of that, but they are not boring. And also, if you kill a dwarf, if you get a dwarf missing next game, which happens all the time now because that's the way it is, you get a guy, you get through armor, he's missed next game. What do you get as a replacement? You get an armor 9 thick skull, well, armor 10 plus thick skull block tackle player with loner for the rerolls that you never fucking use.
Who moves 4 and has agility 2.
Oh, still my beating heart. What do you get if you have an ogre that's killed and you're an ogre team? You get a snotling, or whatever they're calling them this week. You know, what do you get if you've got a chaos dwarf and one of your 6 positional dwarves, because they're positionals, what do you replace it with? That's a hobgoblin. Good luck with that, mate. You know, everybody else's replacement players are
lizard men.
Yeah,
lizards are even worse.
Yeah. I mean, lizard men, yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible. I mean, at least a skink has got some legs on it, but it's a horrible thing to happen. But
if you lose a runner, your dwarf team's dead. You can't play them.
Just use the other one.
You use massively underdeveloped because the good one's done all the running.
You've got redundancy. You've got 2 insta big guys on a fence. You know,
as I said, it's because you're looking at them as if they have exactly the same way of balancing that team mechanic as other teams do. I mean, if I'm playing undead, I expect during the course of that game to lose a few zombies because that's their job on that roster. So that my ghouls, my whites, and my mummies are doing the work, and some of the chaff is taking those hits. As dwarves, I do expect to lose a beard or two at some point during the drive, maybe to a casualty, maybe to a KO, maybe just so irrelevant and left so far away stunned that the play just moves beyond it and it's basically out of the drive. But if I lose more than a couple, I am really going to struggle. And that's against even 3 or 4 rats, let alone a full team of them. So my team is built around dwarves, the idea that I have to have a cohesive whole. And the minute it starts to break apart, it all falls apart because I don't have enough to cover the pitch, so I can't defend the pitch. I don't have enough to build a cage, so I can't defend my ball carrier, who is still going to be only move 6 and only strength 3. So they are incredibly vulnerable to things going wrong.
If I can jump in, this is why I would change the stat lines on them. I would actually uprate the blitzers to move 6 and the beards to move 5. So I'm giving them blanket faster movement. That helps you fix your agency problem well in turn 5.
Then
everything
just
goes
humans?
Wrong.
We've got some reasonably quick blitzers, some blockless filth in the middle, and a couple of pieces that can carry the ball. I mean, aren't we getting just basically down to every team has 12, 6, 3, 3, 8s, and then a couple of pieces that aren't? Dwarves are massively different. Isn't that a good thing? Even if it derives hate.
But they're massively different. But everybody develops them in the same way. So they're massively the same. So it doesn't matter. And of course because they're bloody cockroaches and you can't fucking kill them. You know.
But that's all they've got.
But there's going to be some idiot there who takes them. And sometimes the idiot is you, and yet that's a good player, you know. And then we're really in trouble because we've got dwarves played by someone who knows what they're doing and they're likely to do fairly well. Or there's somebody who is just, I'm just going to have to get past.
Well, I mean,
somehow.
It's lovely that you keep saying that, Hef, and I do love it when people say nice things about me, but they're not true. I mean, not only am I one of the most overrated coaches in Blood Bowl, it's the accent, I think, and the fact I talk a lot. But I've never won a tournament with dwarves. I've come runner-up. I've come third place. I've had the same record as the winner, but I always lose out on the tiebreakers because I lack that ability to get the casualties that the real killer teams can get, to get the touchdowns that the agility teams can get. And even to regularly score because of my pace, I need one thing to go wrong and suddenly I've got a draw instead of a win.
And that is
And as
why,
a legendary curmudgeon and Blood Bowl better than me, Gegster once said to me in words that, as you know, haunt me to this day, no matter how good you are at Dwarves, Dave, if you want to get wins in tournaments, you're going to have to play Elves.
Yeah.
So I'm now an Elf coach. I've switched to Dark Elves. And over the last 18 months, I've got 20 wins and 5 draws and no losses with Dark Elves. And I've won a title with Dark Elves, which I was not doing with Dwarves.
No, that's because Dwarves, the strap line for Dwarves is boring your way to the draw.
If you go back to the design of Dwarves, what would be quite interesting is to know is there's a rumor within the kind of community that the designer of Dwarves at Games Workshop is a Dwarf, or the designer of Blood Bowl is a Dwarf player. And the reason that Dwarves are the way that Dwarves are is because he doesn't want to lose, so he keeps Dwarves broken, in my opinion.
Well, okay. I mean, look, it's all rumor. But I think you're talking about the person who wrote the 2016 revamped rules for 2020, who was a guy known as JTY in the Blood Bowl community, and when he turned up to most events, he would tend to coach Dwarves, yes. So that is true. The guy responsible for writing the 2020 rule set is mostly known on tabletop as a Dwarf coach.
But the question...
Read from that what you choose. I don't see a conspiracy...
The question you need to ask that guy is not why have you met Kev Dwarf so powerful, but where did the werewolf touch you?
I actually, if I met him, would want to ask about the fluff that he wrote for the 2020 rules, which I believe he is extremely proud of.
Extremely proud of, I believe. I've heard a rumour to that effect.
I have heard a rumour to that effect, that he says his greatest achievement was the fluff he wrote for Blood Bowl, a game that famously had no real fluff before that edition.
I just think it was really nice to see other teams change in the 2020 rule set, but Dwarves haven't changed. And I think that's like a key
thing. I mean, the Death Roller changed, to be fair, and the Blitzer's got slightly more expensive. You know, and there's now fives at the end of lots of the prices, so there was a little bit of a price change through them.
But I don't think the fundamentals of them changed. They didn't change fundamentally.
That's
fair.
But they didn't need to, because they're rocking in about 7th or 8th place in the win stats.
They're not dominating leagues.
Yeah,
they're just annoying some people who don't know how to beat them.
No, that's the game. It's an outcome of the kind of people that play Dwarves that are either...
Okay, we're not being pejorative about a type of human, are we? Because that's hateful.
But call me hateful. I've been called many things in my life. But they are either people who are just starting, so that lowers the stats. And then when they get a little bit further in, they take the training wheels off and they play something else.
But this is all subjective, Hef. You don't know these things. It's just your decision as to who plays.
Or this is from 12 years of playing the bloody game against people in tournaments. Or they are people who have the mindset for Dwarves, which I don't have. I don't have the mindset for Dwarves. I can't think 3 turns ahead. I can barely think that's the turn I'm in.
I think those
people are very, very good.
I think you do. You can sit down for 3 hours solid and paint a single miniature. I would find that so mind-numbingly tedious that I couldn't do it anyway. I lack the skill. I wouldn't be able to. But the concept of doing that, I find mentally wary.
You realise, of course, that all the time I'm doing that, I'm not actually thinking.
But when coaching Dwarves, that level of attention over time is exactly what it takes. Yeah, and it's a different skill to finding the creative option to solve the problem, which is what elves do.
When I was playing Dwarves, I had to think solidly all the time for all the games. And I can't do that. I've not got the mindset for
it. It's on my side. So don't you understand how that's on my side? You're saying that Dwarves are a unique, different tactical challenge that you don't face with other races, and simply that you weren't up for it, which is fine. It didn't appeal to you. But it does appeal to loads of us that like that challenge.
And actually, if the only people that played Dwarves are people who'd moved through other things and then arrived at Dwarves and said, actually, I love this team, and you'd play Dwarves, you know, you'd go to a tournament and there'd be 3 guys playing it because everybody else thought, shit, these guys are hard and I can't do it. But in fact, what you've got is you've got 10 guys playing it. 7 of them go, oh, I like block, and I've got armor 10. You know, and 3 of them go, shit, winning with these guys is actually bloody difficult.
Yes.
Because they're slow.
Yes.
I want the seven chaff to go and play orcs. Or go and play humans.
But
or
Mikian wants to take that opportunity away from them. So those seven people who can probably get 35, 40% with dwarves when they may not be able to get that with humans. When they're pro-elves. I played a guy, he was brand new to Blood Bowl. Turn one, he let me hit eight of his pro-elves. Turn two, he had four pro-elves left. Yeah, with dwarves, he'd have had a team.
That's because he shouldn't have taken pro-elves. Because actually, I love pro-elves, but I don't take them because it's my other problem with Blood Bowl is I get furiously angry at AV2 plus teams that fail a dodge.
Have you noticed the link, Bob, which is you and furiously angry? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I still think tips, okay, but fine. Good. But actually, you know, I want people to have taken have tried something else, learned how to play Blood Bowl, and then learned the trouble. Because actually, I will be completely honest with you. When I got this bloody awful, you've got to play a year of dwarves, there was a part of me that went, okay, I'm ready to try this. I'm ready to see whether I can actually make them work, because I played against them and I hate them. But can I actually rise to the challenge of it? I very quickly discovered I did okay. I did, you know, I did no worse with dwarves. I did slightly worse with dwarves than I did with everything else. And that's because the early stages I did okay. Once I'd learned how they worked, I did okay. But then the boredom of it and the irritation and the annoyance and the length that it was going on just basically removed all the joy of playing Blood Bowl for me. So it became
And you ended the year hating dwarves, but with a huge amount of sympathy for dwarf coaches.
No sympathy for dwarves. I ended the year with a beard and a shitload of money, which I didn't see any of.
Yeah. Well, it went to a good cause, so thank you for that. Mickey, surely when you were playing dwarves, you realised their limitations and it gave you new insights into how to beat them. And you feel sorry for dwarf coaches.
It made me.
No, F, I'm trying to move on.
Yeah.
You can save a bit more of a rant for in a minute. Let's give someone else a chance.
I've done enough, yeah.
But I do think that there's different coaches for every different thing. There's people who play dwarves because they look at the statistics and they go, if I'm a dwarf and I roll block dice, I'm not statistically, I am not going to fail as often. So I'm less likely to turn over. I'm more likely to, have all of your 11 turns, and you're more likely to get through the game. And I think that's the thing. There's people who look at it and go from like a meta or a statistical point of view of going, I will beat dwarves or Norse in some cases because, or Zons or whatever. They're looking for those teams with those skills like block and dodge. And that's the team that they're going to play and play purely on a statistical kind of meta kind of situation. And then you've got other people, probably like myself, who approach Blood Bowl from a different perspective, who you're just going to go and you just want to play for fun. You just want to go and have a good laugh. And it's something you do in the evenings after a few drinks, you know, and that's the different sides of it. That's what you're seeing. Like, I hate when I bump into a dwarf player who's a bad coach, but because he's dwarfs, he can roll badly.
Yeah.
And then...
and can still get a 1-in-3 win rate because he's got dwarves.
Yeah, yeah. And that, when you look at win rates, because I did a little bit earlier when I looked on Spike at Blood Bowl 2 win rates, you can look at win rates, and even mine, for instance, I'm 34% win rate. I play a lot of stunties, but whatever. As dwarfs, I'm 43%. But versus dwarfs, I'm 20%, probably because I'm stunty teams. And that generally seems to be the vibe. It's not obviously accurate because it depends on the number of games and so on. But if you look at most people, if you look at the good people like yourself and Davo and whatever, it's generally they're 5% better with dwarfs and 5% worse versus dwarfs. And for an average player like myself, we could be 20% better with dwarfs and 20% worse versus dwarfs. And I think this, even though, it's a very rough kind of analogy or whatever, there's got to be something in that. There's got to be something, the fact that you're turning over less, the fact that you're just going through the game, you're rolling the dice, you're less likely to have a problem in the game. More likely, you're going to get a draw at least.
I'm not sure the cause and effect are exactly as you're describing them there. I even if I accept the stats, and I haven't done that digging myself, but let's presume that I do. It's not part of that, the fact that dwarves force that careful style upon coaches. You can't be dashing and daring all the time with dwarves like you can with dark elves. And that's going to lead to solidity. And particularly in a very random environment, and most CCL is played at very low TV because there's a lot of rinse, and if it doesn't work after three games, they're dead and someone tries again. So the vast majority of data from the CCL is going to come about from between, say, 1,000 and 1,200. That's where the vast majority of CCL games are played. And there, I think, things like Norse and Amazons and Dwarves, with that solidity, and if a coach particularly knows how to use that well, are going to do reasonably well against teams that are starting with very glass cannon builds, looking to get an early advantage, usually with too many positionals and not enough rerolls compared to most other places where there's a meta. And I think that might explain some of why those solid teams have those win rates. If you look at winners of the CCL, winners of the Chalice, I don't see the data supporting the Dwarves doing incredibly well. Maybe others do. They certainly don't do badly. I've never said Dwarves are a bad race. They're not. They are top 10 in almost every set of stats you look at, but they're not usually in the top five.
Yeah, I mean, I dip out in and out of CCL. I'm not a big fan of it myself. I dip in and out, and generally, I don't run into a lot of Dwarf players. I will say that I do not run into a lot of Dwarf players, but probably because of the teams that I generally run, if I do run into a Dwarf player, it's a problem, you know. And but like I said, there are good, and I watch you play, and I think there's a difference between a good Dwarf coach and a bad Dwarf coach who just gets lucky because of his starting skills. They just have that. They have all of the skills that just. If I'm Khemri and I'm rolling two dice with my Tomb Guardian and I roll both down, re-roll both down, that's me. It's game over. But if you're a dwarf and you're rolling two dice both down, you don't care. And that's the difference, I think.
It certainly is. It's what I've got, is I've got that block. I don't have the strength four pieces. I don't have the speed. I don't have the agility, but I've got the block. And as I said, I've got the ability to get knocked down and get back up again. So even taking the block of the tackle off, it still does give me that, which is something.
I watched a Khemri coach. I watched you play a Khemri coach recently, and it was very much like that. The guy, he was a pretty new coach, but he wasn't doing anything particularly wrong, and he was rolling two block dice each time, but he was going both down into both down. He didn't do anything wrong, but because you have block, it doesn't matter what.
See, I mean, I'd say he did do something wrong, which is within his risk profiling of that turn, he didn't look at that block and say, that's quite likely to be a both down. So I need to look at where my fail states are, where the rest of my pieces are, and how I've controlled this turn in case that's a both down.
But he has to roll blocks. He has to roll blocks to move forward. Yes. And he's rolling two dice. He's not rolling one dice. He's rolling a two dice block. He's doing the best he can. I mean, maybe he could get a three dice if he's lucky. But he's doing the best he can, and that's what's given to him. And it's a dice game. Like,
I mean, that is also the limitations of his team that he has chosen. He's chosen those limitations. And most Khemri teams will do better at 1,000 TV. Most Khemri teams will beat Dwarf teams because they've got that huge strength advantage.
I used to struggle against Khemri. When I played Dwarves, I would struggle against Khemri. But what I would say is that what that Khemri coach is learning.
I mean, I am deliberately putting Longbeards up in those Tomb Guardian spaces, looking to suck his rerolls away and create fails.
So what he's doing is he's learning, because if you play with a team like Khemri, you learn about risk and you learn about probability and you learn about all the things you need to learn about to become a better Blood Bowl player. Whereas if you're playing as a starter player with Dwarves, you are not learning, because it's like, oh, well, I've got block off the thing, so I will roll a one dice block against you, or I'll roll two dice uphill. And because actually the team has training wheels on, and so
Don't accept that that's true. I think if you want to learn about the brutality of positioning wrong, nothing will teach you quicker than Dwarves. If you're out of position, you lose. If you want to learn about this, how you have to be stable and build stable cages and roll them forward protectedly, not with based corners, again, Dwarves will teach you that. If you do that wrong, you will lose. I think Dwarves teach you loads. I think the one thing they teach you, people always talk about Dwarves one dying. They teach you the limits of a one die success strategy, when it has to get done, where you need to do it in the turn, because if you risk it too early, there's a lot of times you will just therefore lose. And it teaches you when you need to do roll dice uphill, because you face such a strength uphill mounted so often in those earlier games particularly. You've got no guard to bring in. You're not going to be able to take out a strength 5. You're not going to get the assists in. Strength 4, you might get one die if you're lucky, but sometimes you're going to have to roll them uphill. And again, it teaches you, is that difficult to do? Where in the turn profile should it come? It's just the same learning you'll get with any other race. If you open your mind to it.
You and I know that if you're playing Khemri and they're caged up, you put your guy on the corners so that when it hits you, it pulls away. Because quite a lot of people just will automatically follow up. Because quite a lot of people don't.
So you're trying to pull cages apart, which is another strategy that really works well against dwarves.
But I mean, you're never going to agree with me, and I know this is true, but my view is, and strongly remains, that of all the teams you could start playing Blood Bowl with, dwarves are the worst.
I don't think they're a good starter team.
You will not learn how to play Blood Bowl by playing dwarves. You will learn how to play dwarves, which is a different skill.
I think that's probably true. I would advise people to start with something that has a variety of options, including some pace. Ideally, including some agility. I think humans, orcs are still good starting teams because of the variety of things they'll teach you how to do well. I think dwarves aren't a bad secondary team. If you're struggling with position, if you're struggling really sorting out your block orders, and I think dwarves are a great team to move to next because they'll nail down and solidify that aspect of your game. I think they can then become a bit of a crutch with all of that block, but if they do, what you'll be getting is draws at best. They'll be surviving. And you'll be getting draws, but you're probably not going to be getting wins if they're becoming a crutch and you're relying on that block and that ability to stay alive. And then I think it's time probably to move on and try something more dynamic with the skills you've learned about positioning to give you that agency to get the wins with another race.
Which is why you play Dark Elves.
That's why I play Dark Elves for certain. Andy, this solution for dwarves, is there a future in which dwarves are fun to play? And does it require that root and branch? Can we not just tweak them? Can we not take... They tackle off the beards, just give it to the blitzers, and that'll all be all right. Snuggies will be less butthurt, Amazons will dominate, and everyone will be happy.
No, I would give them a fundamental redesign. You're right in terms of they're not a team for a beginner. I think the three teams in 2020 for beginners, Dark Elves, Humans, and Orcs, go and learn and play with all three of those different teams. You'll get different elements of all three, and then you can move on to Dwarves, potentially, if that's what you really want to go do. They need to be looking at the costings. I think that they should be given a bunch of new extra skills. I think you could do a load of fun stuff like, what about Fumbleruski for the two runners? Give them some agency, let them move the ball around a little bit. What about giving a blitzer or a couple of blitzers guard? Like, this sounds bonkers. Give them guard at the beginning. Like, I would love, you give them horns, let them deal with the strength teams. But fundamentally, that they need, I would give them a complete redesign. I'd make them a little bit faster, and I would also make them a lot more expensive so that they have to make some choices at TV 1000. And then you don't get into the six skill, seven skill. Oh, you've turned up with seven guard. How very interesting. Problem at tournaments. Because at tournaments, we could all go and build a team. We're going to turn up with very, very similar, if not the same tournament team. No one's going to win it. But the six games you played, the person sat on the upper side of the table is going to be bored. They're not a very interesting team to play.
Yeah,
they're just not.
I mean, I've heard enough people tell me that to my face and call me all sorts of names that I absolutely do accept that, to me, the problem isn't about dwarves being overpowered. I accept, as we've said, that at 1300, that's where they spike in power, and they are probably the second most powerful team at Raw 1300. I still think Undead are slightly better at that TV still. But I think the problem is people don't enjoy playing them, and it becomes a mindset. It becomes a barrier for them in terms of when they face them and how they play them. Most people I know who are up at the upper end of Blood Bowl will tell you that they don't find beating dwarves hard. And I think it's a real divide. I think people that are... I hate this elitist tiering, but people that are less good at Blood Bowl, dwarves are one of the things they really struggle with. And I think mastering dwarves... I jokingly said earlier, get better at Blood Bowl. I do think mastering that mindset of how to beat dwarves is one of the steps in terms of you building yourself up as a coach. Once you realize their huge limitations, then are you going to be able to beat them every time? No, I can't stop rats one turning every time. I can't you know, suck all the rerolls off of an elf team so that they can fail occasionally a dodge every time. I certainly can't if all my tackle disappears. But there are times I can outmaneuver dwarves very, very easily. If they make a mistake, or if I get a key stun, or if I remove a dwarf, they're going to really struggle. Just one dwarf, they're going to struggle to get coverage across the field. Or coverage without depth, that if I move enough resources into breaking through, I can't break through fairly easily. And I do think it's a horrible thing to say when people say dwarves are overpowered, to just look them in the eye and say, they're not, you should get better at facing dwarves. But I think to that specific question, it is the answer. I do think our dwarves fun to face is a different one, and I don't have a good answer there.
Do you think it's because people don't want to play? People find dwarves, like everybody says, boring to play against. But people then go, most people are going like, I don't want to play dwarves, so I don't want to be a dwarf. I don't want to play the race. So therefore, they don't learn the limitations of the race. So therefore, they don't learn how to beat them.
I think there's all sorts of psychological factors in play. I think one of them is that people get a real issue about them, and hence they don't coach as them. And once they coach as them, I do think they get a better idea how to beat them. I think having had bad experiences with them, that becomes a mental barrier the next time you face it. You know, I was new, I played dwarves, and they deleted my entire team. How do I stop it this time? And until you learn what is different that you need to do against a dwarf team, or the same against a developed chaos team, a developed orc team, but against a dwarf team probably from the start, whereas those teams, you know, some of the other tactics can work for longer before they become quite self-defeating. I think that becomes a psychological barrier to it too.
It was quite interesting when I was checking all the stats on Spike, and I was checking all the streamers. There was one particular streamer when I first got back into Blood Bowl, I used to watch a lot, which was the Sage. And when I looked at his stats, what was quite interesting was he never played as dwarves, and I don't know why. He's got a 52% win rate versus dwarfs, 66% normally, but he's got no win rate as dwarfs, which makes me think he's never played a dwarf team.
That would seem to add up with those stats. He's famously always said
I don't know. I thought that was quite unusual. There was just like one stat that just stood out as somebody who never played dwarfs.
Well, I mean, I played Blood Bowl for 12 years before I played Dwarves at all, 11 years before I played Dwarves at all, because I very quickly realised I didn't want to be around them because I was bored. And that's what I come down to. I mean, if you think about Blood Bowl in the round, we put this contract together. We're going to come down, and for the next 2.5 hours, we're going to play this game. And it's a game. So therefore, we have to, you know, I know that there are only two emotions in Blood Bowl: fear before you roll the dice and relief when they don't go wrong. And that actually nobody enjoys playing Blood Bowl. We enjoy talking about Blood Bowl. We enjoy having played Blood Bowl. We enjoy thinking about playing Blood Bowl. We enjoy preparing for Blood Bowl. We enjoy these kind of chats. We enjoy that. But actually playing Blood Bowl is fucking horrible. But within that,
I enjoy playing Blood Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I am going for comic effect.
I know.
but there's the contract, which is we are going to sit there and we are going to have fun playing this game.
No, it isn't. No, it's definitely not that. When I at the start of a game say to someone, "Good luck, have fun," mentally I'm adding, "I hope you find me beating you fun."
Yeah.
I am trying to win the game, Hef. And my contract I hope we enjoy the game. I expect you to set me 2.5 hours of challenges, and I will set you 2.5 hours of challenges.
Yeah, and
hope I overcome slightly more than you, but that we both enjoy overcoming them and have a fun experience where I come out on top.
Yeah, but that's fine.
What I hope for.
Whenever I play a game of Blood Bowl, I set everything up. I say good luck, and then I shake their hands and I say, "Roll, have terrible luck, fail everything," and then I laugh.
I want to do a Vulcan mind meld with the rest of the Blood Bowl community, because I find facing dwarves quite fun. I have a reasonable idea of what they can and can't do, and I think that helps.
You enjoy...
And it's a different tactical challenge. If I'm facing an elf team, I'm going to get different challenges. If I'm facing a dwarf team, I'm going to get different challenges. And that variety is something I like about Blood Bowl. And it is a challenge that other teams don't bring in quite the same way.
Yeah,
and to me, that's a good thing.
Is there a particular team as a dwarf coach? Because I perceive you as a a dwarf coach myself. Is there a particular team that you don't like?
I identify as a dark elf coach, and I would ask you to respect
that. Yeah.
Is there a team I don't like? Yeah, I hate facing Old World Alliance, which as dark elves, I'm a joy to face. As dwarves, they're an absolute nightmare. A developed chaos team is very tricky. A developed chaos dwarf team is very tricky. An orc team, if they're built well, is probably tricky at all times. But usually they're not built very well. So usually you can get away with it until about 1400. And upwards from there, they're very tricky. Lizardman team at the very start, and then not for a bit. Once I get two or three guard lizards are in real trouble. And then again, lizards from about 1500 upwards are an absolute nightmare. And elves, if they've got even a remotest bit of luck. I mean, one thing that is terrifying to dwarves, it doesn't happen very often because it's psychotically dangerous, but if a pro-elf team comes for me in turn one and just bases everything, if they get away with it, I'm screwed. If they don't, they're dead. Now, it's a very risky way to play it, but if I've got no ability to move as dwarves, I am completely screwed. Because next turn, they'll just 2+2 things away, and wherever the ball is, they've got it. And I don't have any agency to get back to it. So there's a lot of things I'm worried about constantly as a dwarf coach. And there's a lot of teams that can trip me up. There's a few that I absolutely have good, you know, really good matchups against. And even in those ones, if I miss position, I'm in trouble. So I'm playing most turns in fear, as most Blood Bowlers are, of making a mistake and of mispositioning. But there's half a dozen races that I'm starting as a big dog against, no matter what the TV is. And it tends to be the other big teams, the other nasty teams. Dwarves are quite good at taking out some of the teams that orcs can't deal with. They're not bad against wood elves at most TV. They're not bad against dark elves at most TV. But those teams are smashing the other big bash teams to pieces. Dwarves have a slightly different profile. They're not going to beat the big bashes, but they're reasonable at most matchups, and they're reasonable even against the really dodgy stuff. And as an opponent, I really appreciate that about them, and as a dwarf, I appreciate that about them. But I do get the hate. It's the only reason I agreed to do this is OP isn't an interesting question to me, but why is the hate there, and is there anything we can do about it that would still leave dwarf coaches dwarves they can coach, but actually make people enjoy facing them? And I wonder if there is, because, as I said, it's like a difference between a logic problem and an anagram. If you like that, the Blood Bowl, that every turn, it's I've got five options, which one am I going to fire off? And do I go for the ball in this, or do I build it and make it even easier next turn, or will it get harder next turn? Then dwarves are probably not going to appeal to you, because dwarves, you're building thinking, well, if I'm there in turn eight, then I've got to get those four paces this turn. And it's the whole drive has to be there in your head and running out in the right way exactly. And I just think that's maybe a different type of Blood Bowl, and it's never going to appeal to some people. Have I persuaded anyone? Are any of you willing to say that dwarves are fine?
No.
For me, recently playing them, I posted that picture on the chat, which was me versus a Skaven coach. I think he's, like I said, he's like a 60-70% coach. He's much better than me. And by turn three, four of his players are cast, four are KO'd. He's got three players on the pitch. I'm chasing after him. He's running away. I'm walking up the pitch. And I just think that's not a fun game for me because I've killed his team. It's not a fun game for him because turn three, his team is smashed.
Okay.
Yes, it ended up as a draw because, like Skaven, like Elves, they only need two or three players to score. and he had movement 10 gutter runners, you know. So
I'm just going to pause on that moment and then come back to you. The example that you've been posting in my Discord for the last 5 days about how awful it is for people to face dwarves ended in a draw.
Yes, it did.
Because their three rats were still enough to score past your dwarves.
Yeah, but I think it ended in a draw because
I think I win.
No,
I think that's a technical knockout.
Because I'm a 33% coach.
No, because dwarves are shit at defending even against three rats.
And I grew against a 60-70% coach. And I think that's the thing. That's the difference. Is that it elevates your skill level.
I think there's a floor to which dwarves rise almost no matter how good or bad. And this is not personal. Anyone can take dwarves. And if they know the basics of Blood Bowl, I think they should be able to get 30% to 40% with dwarves. Just by doing the simple stuff. Yeah. I think getting much over 50% takes a lot of skill with dwarves. and skill I that I don't always feel I have. I mean, dwarves are one thing I'm not bad with, but you know, the really good people, your Singolos, your Artemises, your Jimmies, getting up into the 70s with them is very, very tricky. And even then, they're not winning a lot of stuff. Because we've all dismissed the overpowered. I mean, they are overpowered in certain areas, and I think the Death Roller needs to be dealt with. I think it's terrible, terrible design. Anything with +2 in the modern rules should be nerfed. It's just wrong.
Well,
but I want to make them fun. I want to sit down with dwarves and people go, oh, yeah, this might be tricky, but I've got some fun. This could be good. I'm going to try this and this and this. And people don't. They sit down, look miserable, and then let me just beat them easily sometimes.
Sorry, there's one more question with the stats, because this one. So Andy's a 73% coach. He's 78 with dwarves and 68 versus dwarves. So Andy, for instance, like, why don't you play dwarves?
That's a good question. Andy, why don't you play dwarves? You are over 80%.
Because then you could maybe be an 80% coach as opposed to a 70% coach.
So I've talked about this on my stream.
Question, a bunch. Okay.
No, it's all right. Is that I've said that people's win rate specifically is very, very fluid. And if you want to go and buff your win rate, go and sit and play undead, wood elves, dwarves, dark elves, and play them Amazons, and play them at up to 1400 team value. When you get there, throw them in the bin, start again. And I have seen so many good players go 18-1-1, and what are they playing? Dwarves. Right, okay, cool. When they get to the point where they're playing Necromantic with Clawmighty Blow Wolves, they throw them in the bin, because you said earlier they can't play when they're down to 9. I completely agree with you. And my long format dwarf games, once you get to game 20, I'm done. I don't want to play them, because I just lose people and it stops being overpowered. They start becoming normal again. So, yeah, why would I not? Well, I don't think they're very interesting. And I don't think if you want to try and win a tournament, I wouldn't turn it with dwarves. They don't win tournaments. They finish fifth. That's where they finish. They finish nearly, but not quite.
Yeah. I have a lot of runners up, third place and fourth place.
And they're not interesting. So I don't want to.
Has just asked me, is there anything I would change about dwarves? I've got to be honest with you all. Even I want them to be fun for people to face. So I do think the Death Roller I would change. I don't know what else I would change about it, but I'd certainly take DP +2 away. I think that's terrible and needs to leave. I think it could probably use either a slight price increase or some other nerf, because I think it's a bit too good, and I'm not sure dwarves should really have it except for fun. Other than that, I just don't see the need. I've coached a lot of dwarves. I find them tactically really challenging because of how incredibly limited they are. I know people hate facing them, and I do all right with them, but they're not overpowered. If they were, you know, I'd be good at Blood Bowl rather than sort of all right. And yeah, ultimately, because I wanted to get a second NAV title. The first one I got was with Amazons, and the second one I got was with Dark Elves. And I wanted two, so I changed off Dwarves to get a second title. So I think that will tell you I don't think they're overpowered. I think there are other races that are much better at getting wins, if that's all you care about. But I enjoy the tactical challenge, so I would always go back to them, because that's how my brain, that's what appeals to me about Blood Bowl. Some of them are, I can do anything any turn. I say, really? Well, then, what's the challenge? Just wait for a turn where it works, then.
So one of the things that you promised us was that you would tell us how you would beat you.
I've already said it once, so I'll say it again. How do you beat dwarves? It very much depends on the race. At low TV, you can just either dominate them with your strength, because you'll either have more strength, or outposition them with your pace, because you'll have more pace. You ideally need to wait for a moment where even a stun, let alone a removed dwarf, gives you any slight advantage on one side of the field or the other, and then you will almost certainly be faster than the dwarves. You need to choose, and I say this like it's easy, you need to choose which ones, usually in the middle, need to get based so that they can't move. You then need to dominate the ones where the weakness is, and it may mean taking the odd hit, but you should have enough that you can get two players on every single dwarf, keep them from guarding up and helping each other, we'll knock a couple of those over if you can, then you need to dodge and run away from the ones on the other side of the field. So you go from a cross field to a line on one side or the other, depending where they're slightly weak, whilst holding the middle area with your chaff, taking those hits to give you the turn to get through them and past. In terms of defending, you pull exactly as Hef was saying, you pull the cage apart. Try not to base anything that's too dangerous, but if they've got a 5-point cage, base it diagonally in the corners and see how they cope with having to hit in every corner and yet still try and keep it moving forward. And Ultimately, if that's not pulling it apart to give you enough of a shot into the ball, then you need to drop back and form walls in front of them. And I've been seeing Dark Elves that can engage with me for six turns and suddenly still have seven Elves back in front of the ball, and no matter how far forwards I am, I can't get the extra three or four steps it takes to score. Because they only need those three, six Elves really does it really well. Two directly in front of the ball, 2-4 to one side, and 2-4 to the other. And then that runner's going nowhere. So you only need six Elves in a wall. And until you're down to that sort of number, you can aggressively defend and stop them getting the movement. Now, is that going to work every time? No. But how can I, in two sentences, tell you, you know, a strategy that's going to work against any race every time? But that's going to give you a really good start against Dwarves, because that's what they can't deal with. You shouldn't be fighting them, but you should be selectively misleading them into one-on-one conflicts, and then sidelining a chunk of them and outnumbering the others.
You have to sort of shuffle them to a side. What I try to do when I fight Dwarves is I try and give them a side to go down. I try and keep the centre and one side solid, and I try and sort of help them to go down one side, because then I can move in on.
Is that how you deal with Elves?
I do that as well.
Is that how you deal with Elves?
How do I deal with Elves?
Is it different?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And mixed teams like Necro, do you do the same thing against Necro? Have to guide them down one side and then outmaneuver them like that? No, because they've got all the pace in the world. So are you saying that Dwarves bring a unique tactical challenge that you've found a way to try and resolve, which other teams don't? That sounds quite a fun thing to add to a
rule set. Does it make them fun? No, it doesn't make them fun.
That's where I get lost, is I don't know why not. Because when you do ask people about how they deal with Dwarves, they do talk about a different style of coaching, a different set of decisions they seem to take against anything else. So why isn't that fun? Why isn't that adding variety and spice to your Blood Bowl pie? And that's where I get lost. Because I know they're not overpowered, but I know people are unhappy. I don't want them to be happy. I want everyone to enjoy Blood Bowl.
Because
I'd love to sit down with Dwarves and go, hooray!
If I was playing the three people who turn up at a tournament and take Dwarves, then fine. We're doing this. It's when it's 10 people in the 30 people there have got Dwarves. Then it's like, I'm not being set a new challenge. What I'm getting is, how good is this guy at countering this challenge, what I'm about to do? And you are good at it. You've beaten me with my humans and wrote in Fumble how it was dead easy to beat me, and I have never forgiven you.
Sorry.
It could be worse. You could say, is Hef any good at the game? And then everybody here could laugh.
I would never say that. I value you as a friend.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen as well. So, you know.
Just because you left me a very easy little move where I could push someone in next to your ball carrier and have all the dice in the world on it, it doesn't make you a bad coach, and it doesn't mean that, you know, that it's always easy for Dwarves. I just found an opportunity.
I made a mistake, and you capitalised on it because you're a better player than I am, and I've never pretended for a moment that you're not a better player than I am.
I got lucky. Let's leave it there.
My Blood Bowl aim has always been that people look at me and they go, I've seen this man's stats and they're shit. And then they go, then they start playing me and they go, shit, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, you do. So, but wasn't that fun? When you had a strategy that you rolled out against Dwarves and I found a counter strategy and it got us into a tussle that was then an interesting few moments of Blood Bowl. Wasn't that actually fun?
An interesting few moments.
Because then once I took the ball and ran away, I get it's not as fun anymore.
And actually, the only reason you got away was because I double-wunned the go for it to hit you.
Yeah, because Dwarves aren't very responsive. They're very easy to stop. Wasn't that a fun game of Blood Bowl?
But, you know...
You're on my side. You enjoyed it. You're relishing the dice story.
You got the one dice that you needed to get that guy down, and you picked the ball up with the dice that you needed, and you went and you made the two go for it.
I did. Yeah?
I got the guy in with the second go for it to hit you, he double-wunned, so I couldn't touch you. And then, of course, because it's me playing, the fucker stunned himself.
I get lucky sometimes, Hef. I'm sorry that you experienced that.
And you know, that's why you beat me. That's why it was quite easy to beat Hef, because Hef managed to fumble a dice roll.
Yes, I get lucky sometimes, and that's how most of my wins come about. But we had fun playing it, because it was a dynamic game with lots of stuff going on. And I get most Dwarf games aren't.
You had fun playing it. I played five fun games of Blood Bowl, and then suddenly, and I remember I sat down next to you and said, I've had a good day. because I've not met a I've not met a dwarf in this tournament. And you went, there you go. And it was,
oh, I'm sorry. That's where the werewolf touched him, Andy. It was then.
That was when the wolf touched him. Yes.
Look, I think we need to wrap this up. I mean, as you've sussed, I'm not a convert. I don't think dwarves are overpowered. I do think there's a problem with them being fun, and I don't know how to solve it. Because, tempted as I am by Mikian's argument that, you know, we've got gnomes in the Old World Alliance that now have Brawler and Armbar, and we're seeing that those aren't as terrible as we feared they might be. They've still got that ability to stick there and get hit and get back up. So they've still got some of that dwarfishness to them. But without any agency, I don't see how dwarves are anything other than something that just gets hit a lot and then doesn't ever score, doesn't ever get forwards. I want people to find fun playing them, but if we take away anything they can do, then we need to give them other stuff. So maybe Andy's right. Maybe it's just a whole total redesign of dwarves is the only way we're ever going to get the community to universally look at dwarves and go, yes, they belong in our game, and I'm glad they're here. Because one thing's very, very clear. I didn't think this was going to be an interesting episode. You know, are dwarves OP? No. I can show you. I've got, right now, if you want me to, I can cut between 10 different windows, each of which is a different number of stats. From Fumble, from the Black Box Trophy, from NAF, from Leagues, from Blood Bowl 2, and in every single one, dwarves are not overpowered. They're not dominating. They're not getting the wins.
And they bore their way to a draw. That's the problem.
But they're coming in 10th. They're coming in 9th. So I thought there's no contention around this subject. And yet here we are. We've spent an evening discussing it, and we don't seem to have solved it. It's been thrashed about on my Discord for days since I announced this topic, and it's never stopped. Every time you look, there's another 3 pages of people talking about it. Mostly Mikian, but a lot of other people too. And people on both sides.
Is the stats... Are you looking at the wrong stats? Because you're looking at tournaments, you're looking at like CCL and stuff like that.
I'm looking at win rates, yeah. Across all sorts, across leagues, across knockouts, across...
Yeah, but if you look at like your community... Blood Bowl 2 leagues. I mean, is there a way to look at the stats of that, for instance? Because what you find then, I think, is different to what you find, as you say, in a NAF tournament, or you maybe find in CCL. I think in the league format, the private leagues that run in Blood Bowl 2 at the moment, because Blood Bowl 3 can't cope with that, then I think you do see a difference. You do see more people. The dwarf players are, or the dwarf coaches are placing higher, purely because of, I think, because it's dwarves.
I mean, I think you're right. I think they will, at a certain point, if in a limited number of games, say an 8-9 game season, I think the dwarves are going to do quite well towards the end of that. And then, as you experience, they're going to get promoted into a league where they're going to hit some Clawpomp, and they're going to get decimated. Because there's a few matches in that game, in that season, they're just going to have no chance in. Because they're going to lose those two or three dwarves, which means they don't have enough. And then they're going to lose more and more and more. So yes, I think they have a sweet spot, and I accept in league there may be an issue with them, particularly in that first season or second season when they reach the sort of 6 to 10 games, that sort of level, dwarves can be absolutely filthy.
But and that's undead. That's probably the experience that you, well, I like to call myself like average Joe Blood Bowl player.
Sure.
When you're playing in private leagues, that's what we are experiencing, because we're not in CCL and we're not in NAF tournaments. We're not playing, maybe we're not playing tournament tabletop. Maybe we're just on Blood Bowl 2 and we're just in private leagues.
Yeah.
And that's what we're hitting. That's the point that we're...
And I definitely don't want to invalidate that lived experience of people of saying, you know, I really find facing dwarves miserable and they delete my team and I lose 5 players and my plans are decimated. I do get that. And certainly in terms of league, because of that limited horizon of the number of games, newer players are going to run into dwarves doing to that to them, probably before they run into orcs doing it to them, or chaos doing it to them, or Nurgle doing it to them.
Yeah, for sure.
But if they survive 3 or 4 seasons, they're going to find the bigger, nastier teams start picking on them too. And then it's going to give them flashbacks to their dwarf days. So perhaps dwarf are just the first of those sort of brutal barriers that a league team is going to have to get through at some point. And one that, because, you know, most of the teams that are going to really suffer will build a lot of dodge in. One that's going to have a decent counter to all of that dodge, whereas most of the rest of the league won't. I want this problem to go away, because I don't want Blood Bowl to constantly, every time someone brings dwarves to a tournament, for half the tournament to look at him and sneer. Them and sneer. That's not cool. But if we nerf dwarves to the point where there's just no point in bringing them, then we may as well just say, well, we won't have dwarves or chaos dwarves. And perhaps that is a way forward. But that's going to change the meta massively. We are going to see, you know, the tyranny of Blodge will be like giving Galadriel the ring. We are going to see a whole new tyranny rise. And one
I'm up for that.
But the it's going to limit the game itself more. I think asymmetrical balanced design, where there are teams that smash the dwarves, there are teams the dwarves smash. I think that's how it's supposed to be, isn't it?
It's good playtesting, isn't it? Because if you have the capability to do good playtesting, and you can trial these, like the armbar brawler kind of rules that we talked about. If you can trial that in a large enough format, and get some statistics from it if you want to, or whatever. Then I think you can make an educated, informed decision on whether you apply that or not. But if you, I don't think doing nothing is the answer. I don't think just going, well, we can't risk changing them, achieves anything.
I mean, I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to have a go because I'd rather Blood Bowl was a harmonious place, and I know dwarves upset a lot of people. I still don't quite understand why. I think it's just a different tactical challenge. I think electric vision, you know, is close to what we would probably agree might be some of the problem. Where I find it the most surprising is in the NAF format, because no matter what my dwarves do to you, they're all fine next game. So it isn't even about the attrition you might suffer, nor are you gaining SPP. So it's not about the lack of attrition you're doing on me, meaning you've gained those SPP. So two of what I would normally think are the big problems with facing dwarves are not there in NAF style, and yet people still moan about it all the time. So it's clearly something that's much about the agency they remove from you, because then perhaps we should think of them as a stymie team, Imperial Nobility are.
If I've gone to the NAF, to answer your point as why do I get upset playing dwarves in leagues?
It's because you're unhinged, Bob, but let's talk about other people in general.
If I go to the NAF, say, and I take my team there, and I've paid 112 quid for the hotel room, and I paid 55 quid to go, and I sit down, and one of my six games is against dwarves, and it's like, I've paid a shitload of money to be bored for the next 2 hours. And maybe that's what it is. I'm just throwing that in as a possibility. I mean, it's not something that figures for me particularly, but I'm saying maybe my problems with dwarves are much deeper and much more sort of need psychological help. So maybe that's it. You travel a long distance. You've put your family on the back. You know, you've managed to clear with your significant other that you're going to be away for this weekend. You've paid real money out of the family budget when everything's tight, and you go and you sit down, and here's this bloke, and he's fucking well insulting me by bringing dwarves, and I'm not going to have. There's no possibility that I'm going to enjoy this unless I have that game in which every roll I make is a 10 and every block I make is a pal. In which case, I'm having a great time.
I think it's really important to state on behalf of dwarf coaches, he did not wake up that morning and think, how do I most ruin Hef's day?
Oh, absolutely.
He woke up and thought, what race to me appeals to what I think I can do successfully in Blood Bowl?
The point I've not made here is what dwarves did to me, which they turned me into a person at tournaments I did not like. I mean, to the extent that I went to Water Bowl, And I became that guy, playing Nurgle, who he did something. And he's got complete right to use rerolls how he likes. And normal Bob would have gone, thanks a lot for wasting that reroll. And I just completely melted down. I mean, completely. Why did you do that? What's the point of that? I became this vile human.
And you put that down to coaching dwarves.
And I'm a vile human anyway, but it was that... was not like the point at which I began to feel that really I needed to stop doing this because I was not, it was not making me well. Because as I say, I was either bored or amazingly frustrated. And then this guy does something so fucking dumb when he needs that reroll later. And I apologized to him afterwards. And I would, if I ever see him, and I've seen him since, and I've apologized again because I was genuinely out of order. And that's what playing dwarves did to me.
Yeah, I mean, it that's a sad story, and it's obvious you shouldn't have been pushing yourself to play dwarves to that level. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things I love about Blood Bowl, as well as being able to carry just about everything in one very small bag. is that there is such variety in the races that if I fancy a different challenge for a tournament, I can take something different and try something different.
Yeah.
If I want to go, you know, fast and responsive, I have those options. If I want to be solid, I have those options. I guess what I'm hearing mostly is that when I, as Dwarves now, run into Imperial Nobility, I'm looking at a game I know is going to be a grind. I know all the things I know how to do aren't going to work. I'm going to have to try and get lucky or find a way around that, because the usual dwarf strategies are just going to run into mud and not get anywhere unless I magically get, you know, half a dozen removals. And maybe that's what people are feeling with dwarves. Perhaps it is that idea of everything I'm normally going to do isn't going to work here. And hence I'm going to have to be slow and methodical and find ways and tease out that little tiny space where I can then exploit it. And perhaps that isn't most people's kick. In which case, I think the only thing to do is to say that we need to, you know, sort of get rid of dwarfs and maybe Khemri and lean into everyone has speed and everyone has some agility and everyone has that agency to be able to do things in two turns. Because, you know, if we nerf dwarfs in any kind of meaningful way, they become unplayable. You know, they're going to be worse than Black Orcs. They're going to be down by the goblins. If they don't have block particularly, I think they're completely screwed. I do think there might be some value in swapping some things onto the blitzers and off the beards, but I still think that's going to change the meta to a point where we are going to create a monster. There's going to be races so freed by that they're going to start dominating things, and we're going to end up redesigning most of the teams to cope with the fact that limiter just isn't there anymore.
Sorry, what is the current, like, at NAF tournaments, what is the current percentage of dwarf coaches on average?
Let me have a look at some statistics.
Not that many, I don't think.
It's not.
Is it like 5%, 10%?
No.
I don't think you're going to find that you drastically change the meta. I think that I have taken from this conversation that you actually need to go into playing against dwarves with a completely different mindset. You're quite right, PC, that when you play against dwarves, what you might want to do, yeah, throw that in the bin, because actually you're both going to play the game that the dwarf coach wants. If the dwarf coach is bad, you can now play what you actually wanted to do. But if the dwarf coach has any form of talent, you're going to play a slow, methodical, boring game that's going to be 0-0 or 1-0 or maybe 1-1.
You're going to face a tantalizing turn-by-turn tussle where the single mistake might completely screw you and you need to be sharp and on the ball every minute. How exciting. And,
yeah, and if you get unlucky and you fell a load of dodges and your dark elves leave the field, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. Oh, well, enjoy. And I think dark elves particularly have a miserable time against dwarves. But I would also wonder, and we haven't really covered this, but since some of the skills are so much stronger than some of the others, block, guard, for example, being the two strongest skills in the game by some distance, and GW at some point in the future tried to balance the game by giving certain amounts of skills like that to teams, where does this leave dwarves? Where does it leave Norse? You've just had a redesign because block, tackle, guard, maybe all need offensive and defensive constituent pieces.
Yeah, variants.
And if you do that, suddenly the passing tree doesn't look as shit as it is now, because you've just split guard in half and you split block in half. You split tackle in half. Cool. I'm up for that. That doesn't break dwarves.
Can we split blodge into four as well, Andy, please?
Well, effectively, you would start doing that. Yeah, you would start doing that because
my constant concern is, you know, you want to remove that gate, fine. But then I'm telling you that Amazons and elves are storming through your castle and they're taking your sweeties.
So by all means, this is actually the great leveler, isn't it, right? Split block, it affects everybody. Everybody. Split dodge, it affects everybody. And suddenly, that's a thing. And let's also quickly look at, if you get offered a double skill on a Dark Elf Blitzer, you take it. You take guard instantly. You get offered a double skill, which is supposed to be better than your standard skill tree on any dwarf, they're going to go, hang on a second, can I take guard first? Right? You're not taking it. That tells you the intrinsic value of guard.
I sometimes take dodge before... Because I like one blodge beard to drop on trees and trolls and things. And then it can get guard later.
Oh, then it can get guard later. Right. So you take it You take it for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
But Dark Elves have to take guard whenever they're offered it. And in the new rule set, because again, if we're talking about skill.
Dwarves making you so miserable, try mixing a couple of defensives in, which are normal skills for any agility race. And you'll find that you're going to destroy instantly the Dwarves' key feature.
Yeah.
So again,
I agree.
We've now got more races that are strong against Dwarves. Like I said, Imperial Nobility, Old World Alliance, Orcs are now absolutely bossing Dwarves every time they face them. Perhaps if some of the agility teams were thinking a bit more about facing a variety of opponents rather than just what do I do well, perhaps we'd see a defensive lineman that could really lock down a whole Dwarf offense with just one good positioned elf.
I think you're talking about 1600 plus, 1500 plus, maybe not quite as high as that. Can't see a
maybe seven skills popping a defensive on an elf.
I took defensive on my Necro team very recently.
It's kind of what I knew you'd have to eventually tell me and admit.
It was on Necro and I took Blodge defensive on a ghoul, surrounded with some guard, and just laughed at everyone as they couldn't do anything. It was brilliant. So yes, it is very strong. Defensive is a very good skill in combination with others, but it is not like guard where you can just take it straight out of the box and it's immense.
I think it was very weird that guard got buffed in the 2020 rule set. I get that it was perhaps to make black orcs more viable so they can take guard and still get assists on their fouls and things. But that is, I think, one of the buffs that just weirded me out about the whole rule set.
Do you agree then, PC? Do you agree that Dwarves actually would fundamentally benefit from a bit of a redesign to make them not less powerful, not more powerful, but to make them less dull? Right?
It's not my preferred option. My preferred option is that everyone just grow a pair, pull up their big boy pants, and learn how to face dwarves better. And find that, weirdly, and this is the bit I can't alter, and find that fun to do. But as I accept, I can't make that bit happen, right? I think the first bit everyone should just do. I think the second bit, and find it fun, I'm not sure. Even if they all got brilliant at facing dwarves, I'm still not sure people would be enjoying it. But that is a worry to me. Because anything that limits people enjoying Blood Bowl limits Blood Bowl. And so if that meant a redesign would make them universally popular but still viable, I'd be all about it. But I'm not hearing anything at the moment that persuades me they'd be viable.
Well, we haven't gone into the specifics of what you'd do, I think. But that's probably
your idea of if you take stuff away, we need to give things. And I'd love more people to talk about that. Because I think if you hide behind dwarves or OP, then you can say something needs to be done, and you can do something without balancing it. So you can open with dwarves or OP, let's take block off them, and they won't be. Well, they're not OP. You're not enjoying facing them. So let's take block off them, and you might enjoy facing them, great. But then they're completely ruined. So if we accept that first opener, the Dwarves OP is wrong, and we all do, and say instead Dwarves aren't fun to face, then I'm going to have many more interesting conversations about how we solve that I'm much more all about, where people are saying we take this away but give them this instead. So they're still viable, but they're not boring. Then I'm into interesting conversations, and then I'm listening. But do you understand how mostly it's hatred and let them die hidden behind the OP banner that I'm not all about that?
Can I be in both camps? I would hate them and want them to all die, but I would therefore change them? I'm going to be in both camps.
Yeah, sure. I think that's reasonable. Mikoyan, have I persuaded you that actually what we need to say is they're not fun, let's try and find a way for them to be both viable and yet for people to enjoy facing them? Is that a better place for us all to move forwards from?
Yeah, I think they just missed an opportunity. I think Games Workshop missed an opportunity in Tabletop 2020 to change them. Okay. Tweak them, to do something with them that would just make them a little bit different to what they are now.
Sure.
Good.
We can end on that. We're friends on that statement.
Yeah.
Good. Hef, you're wrong, aren't you? It's just that you hate them and you don't find them fun. But really, they're all right. We just need to find a way to make you enjoy playing them.
I don't think they're overpowered. I don't think they're all right. I think that they are dull fun sponges that turn the game into a game I don't want to play because I have to play their game. And I can play their game. Anybody who's played Blood Bowl for any amount of time knows how to play against dwarves. And if they don't, well, get good, yeah? And that's not the point. That's never been the point that I've made. I've never thought they were overpowered. I also think they're unfixable, because any
that's my worry.
Any correction is a nerf. And, you know, I mean, simply, you know, I mean, I would take the death roller off the dwarves and I would give it to the goblins, because that's where it belongs.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Except Snotty sort of already have it with the pump wagon, but I see what you mean. Yeah.
But, you know, that's that kind of thing. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, someone's done it again. It happens all the time. Someone's just dropped in the chat and said, it's easy to solve. Just make them all Old World Alliance dwarves. No, it's not. If we do that to them... Dwarves, no one faces, no one plays dwarves. Now, lots of people would love that. And if you just want to remove dwarves, which is what you are saying, it's a valid opinion that you have. I disagree.
I'm not saying I want to remove them.
I'm doing the wind up here where I wind up the whole show and we finish.
Okay, fair enough.
Come on in, but this is not the debate bit.
No, fine. That's fine.
So, look, I want people to have fun pacing them. And I want the simple world, I want them to not change because they're not overpowered. They're fine. And I want people to enjoy facing them, and I don't think that can happen as they are. So is there need for change? Luckily, I'm not in charge. I don't get to decide. There isn't need for change in terms of the statistics of Blood Bowl. In terms of the statistics of Blood Bowl, they are fine and we are all fine. But I mean, we've seen from the response to dropping the adverts out from this, from the fact that my guests are still absolutely entrenched in hating dwarves and wanting change, from the fact that chat's been, you know, absolutely 50-50 all night with people hating them and people saying you're wrong, and never seems to be a solution. I think at least we need to get beyond the dwarves are overpowered, so destroy them. I don't think that's true. I just don't think anyone can support it or defend it. They're overpowered in little tiny places, at very peak TVs, at certain parts of the Blood Bowl game, but so are so many other races. So I think it's not about nerfing. It's about change that makes it maybe more fun to face. And my worry with that is that maybe Hef's right, in that if we have to change them so far that they're fun to face, we're going to lose what essentially makes them dwarf and just make another human variant team or another orc-like team. You know, let's give them 2 strength 4. Let's make them all a bit quicker. Let's take all the block off. And what are they? Oh, they're the same as everything else. So perhaps even changing them to make them fun would remove dwarfs really from the game anyway. I wish at the end of 2 hours or at the end of what's been 3 days of debate about this culminating in a 2-hour show about it, I or anyone sat with me could offer you an answer that is going to give us all what we want. I think I want dwarves in the game moving forward. I think most people do. I don't know how we make them fun, and I don't think they're overpowered. So, I guess as you were, I hope you found that interesting. I hope it's made you think. I hope it's challenged some people. I think if we're going to go forwards, it has to be by asking the right question, which is how do we make them both viable and enjoyable? Not what do we do about their overpoweredness. If you really think they're overpowered, come into my Discord and we'll talk about it. We'll watch a game of yours and I'll point out, you know, actually probably how you could have beaten them, because it's not that tough. It's not easy, but then nothing's easy in Blood Bowl. I don't have anything else left to say, but I'm going to give the final words to Hef, who's been wanting it all evening. Hef, say good night to everybody for me.
Good night to everybody for you.
Thank you. If we could all wave, it gives me a nice easy point to find in the edit. Thank you all for your company. I wish we'd solved it, and I wish those guys weren't as wrong as they are, but there we are. That was World 1 Blood Bowl number 30. Are dwarfs OP?
Yes.
No.
Yes.